The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I want to say a little bit more about with what I said this morning earlier. I was in, I appreciated reading this article in the New York Times about the effectiveness of mindfulness training and how mindfulness training, the simple act of focusing on something like the breath, noticing when the mind wanders off focus, and then bringing the mind back to the breath, that it develops all kinds of psychological qualities of the mind that are very useful and maybe very helpful, especially the articles about people who have attention deficit disorder. And also they talked about people when they start getting old, and one of the things that they say happens as they get older is that the ability to avoid distracted thinking becomes less. People get distracted easily, so that's partly why people that get older have sometimes a hard time remembering what they were, remembering things, what they're talking about, or words, or names, or something, partly because they're so easily distracted. The article said, I don't know if it's true. But the so they said that the simple act of coming back, noticing you're distracting and come back, will cultivate greater strength in delayed gratification, and that this is a really important principle or quality of psychological maturity, is being able to manage with delayed gratification, not to pursue your desire, your wishes automatically just because you have it. It also was very good training in impulse control, a little bit similar, where you have an impulse, you want to think something, you want to say something, you want to do something, but the task is to come back and just be with the breath. And so whatever the impulses that are otherwise happen, you're training in impulse control. You're not giving in to those impulses. And that is a very important thing that people have to learn to be successful in any kind of life. And as children grow up, they're learning impulse control, when it's appropriate to act on certain impulses. I think if we gave freedom to everyone we know to be act freely, whatever impulse they have, you probably wouldn't have a very... Probably your life would get pretty complicated very quickly. So learning impulse control. And then learning to self-monitor. Learning to have a heightened ability to monitor oneself, to be aware of one's thoughts and feelings and attitudes and desires and wishes and what goes on is a very important part, because without self-monitoring, there can't be delayed gratification, there can't be impulse control, and there can't be wisdom and understanding of what goes on and principles that we operate under. There was a second article in the New York Times that my wife told me about that this week, about confidence. And what they said was that developing confidence in yourself is not very effective. They've learned that similarly with the self-esteem movement in schools. There was a whole time in this, I don't know, 80s and 90s of trying to inculcate self-esteem in children. And they've been horrified at the results. That somehow there's a lot of kids who grew up in the self-esteem movement who ended up feeling that they deserved to have things be easy for them. And there wasn't a sense that they should try hard. And there's something about building up self-esteem, self-confidence, where what's being is I'm confident, I'm capable. The whole holding it as I is not very effective, as the researchers are finding who did this study, reported in the New York Times. But rather, what's useful is to have confidence in one's ability. That one has an ability, one has a skill that one can apply and use. That confidence is useful. So the confidence in self is just a very broad, vague idea that has a magnet for all kinds of other ideas. Confidence in a skill that you have, that's very particular, and that can be realistic, that can be something very focused. So in tying these two studies together, we can have confidence in our ability to not get caught up in our distractions, not get caught up in our impulses, confidence not getting caught up in wanting what we want right away. And that to have confidence in that makes it easier to go through the world, because you know that you'll have impulses, you have thoughts, you have things you want to say and things you want to do and attitudes for yourself. And you know, you don't have to worry so much, because you know you can step out of it. You can come back to the task at hand. Come back. So in the article, you know, about mindfulness, it said, you know, just simple, having a particular focus, coming back and focusing on that, letting go and coming back. What I learned from Vipassana practice, so I did a lot of that in Zen practice. Come back, come back, come back to the breath, come back to the breath and the posture in Zen. And it was great for me. I really loved it, but I was a little bit fortunate, because kind of before I started practicing Zen, I had an experience of summer, a very nice summer in my life, where I decided there was nothing wrong with having a fantasy life. And so I gave free rein to my fantasies. But to do that without any balance is dangerous. They have institutions for you. But what I did was, I just coincidentally, when I gave myself that freedom, I was doing something all summer long where I constantly had to be in the present moment, be in the present moment, be in the present moment. It's outdoors kind of thing. I had to be there. And so I had this wonderful combination of giving freedom to my mind and always being grounded in the present. And that kept me from going crazy with my fantasies. So I gave this freedom, but I didn't go very far with it. But it was free. I wasn't trying to control it. So when I started doing Zen practice, I had brought the same attitude towards it. I gave freedom to my inner life to be what it is. It's okay. Whatever's fine. But I constantly grounded myself in the breath and the posture. So I gave, you know, it was okay that I have thoughts and fantasies, but every few moments, I'd come back, oh, here, here, here. So it was a wonderful combination, as opposed to, I can't do that, I shouldn't be doing that, being on guard against the bad mind, doing whatever it's going to do. I had no idea it was bad. I just, like, gave it its freedom, but I would constantly ground. It kind of helped me relax, settle, get grounded. What Vipassana did for me was that I realized that that mindfulness, that presence of connecting and not being caught in fantasy, connecting to grounding in the present moment, I didn't have to only use the breath and the body. I could use whatever was happening. So I didn't have to turn away from anything to get the grounding. I could, in a sense, turn towards something, whatever is happening. So if there was fantasy, I didn't have to turn away from the fantasy to wake up. There was a particular way of turning towards the fantasy and seeing, oh, this is fantasy. And that, you know, it was kind of like stepping away from the distraction to look back at it. Rather than stepping away from it and going to the breath, it was turning away from it, and with the same kind of attention which I ground myself in the breathing, there's a way of grounding myself, and this is the mind thinking. Or if I had a strong emotion, same thing, rather than turning away from the emotion, very effective sometimes to turn away from the emotion and just ground in the breath. If, as long as you give freedom to the emotions. If you try to squash it, that's not good. But in the same way with you know, grounding in the breath when there's a lot of emotions, I learned through Vipassana that I could turn the mind away from being caught in the emotions, but at the same time ground myself in it or see it for what it is or really be there in a way that I was free and not caught by it. So the opportunity of developing and training the mind is not limited to only coming back to the breath, only having a particular focus of concentration, but the opportunity to cultivate and develop the mind, to develop these qualities of, to use the article's concepts, to develop delayed gratification, impulse control, self-monitoring, and maybe even a certain kind of confidence can come from bringing a clear kind of mindfulness, clear recognition of whatever is happening, and there's no need to turn away from anything. But that clear recognition of what's happening is very different than being swept away along with what's happening, being involved with what's happening. It's really stepping back and seeing it for what it is. And to constantly do that movement over and over again does a tremendous amount of good for our mind. And the article talked about a certain set of things, but I think that there's the inner mental ecology is ecosystem is so complex that this very simple thing of not allowing yourself to be distracted, carried away by your distraction, carried away by your impulses, I think the Buddhist tradition points it develops a tremendous amount of good in oneself. And one of the ways my teacher in Burma would word this how the simple act of practice cultivates many different things. He said that simple act of coming back to the moment, coming back to the breath, you are cultivating all factors of the Eightfold Path. And he would go through the Eightfold Path and say, how just coming back to the breath, coming back to the moment, was cultivating all the factors. So there's probably many other things as well. So I hope that you will put tremendous value or appreciation of how simple, how effective and multifaceted the usefulness is of not allowing yourself to get distracted. Noticing when you start getting off and either coming back to the breath or waking up right there, seeing what it is. So, thank you.